Awesome. Let's pray together, friends. Father, we come before you to declare your greatness this morning. You are a great God and a good God who loves us with an everlasting love. And your great desire for us is that we would be one, even as you are one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we pray that you would teach us this morning through your Spirit. Open up your word to us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, we pray. In the name of Christ and all God's people said, amen. Go ahead and grab a seat, friends. Thanks, team. This feels a little bit different, doesn't it? Yeah, just a tad? I thought we'd begin by asking a couple of questions. How many of you were here when this building was built? This part of the building was built. Raise your hand. Awesome. How many of you were like part of the crew that came in that painted walls and laid carpet and all of that kind of stuff? Anybody here who kind of helped did that? Yeah, sure. Linda Marshall. Awesome. Right on. How many of you were here and remember, maybe you weren't here when this was built, maybe you kind of came after that, but how many of you remember worshiping in this space before we had our main worship center? So a few more. Okay. How many of you walked in this morning, be honest, looking to see if your seat was still reserved for you up here? Right? I Pat Stout, the first service, like, someone's sitting in my seat. I was like, Pat, you don't get to reserve seats down below and up here, right? Got to choose. Anyway, should be kind of fun. We're going to be up here for the next several weeks. It is kind of cool. It's been a great morning. This space is a lot more intimate, has a lot different feel. You can hear one another sing. That may be a good or bad thing, depending on who you're standing next to, right? But it really has been a pretty special morning. And, you know, as we get started, I thought it'd be cool to talk a little bit about kind of go back in time a little bit in Pepsi's history. Will and I gathered the founders together, the founding families of our church. There's many of them still around. And just had a great conversation, captured a lot of video. We'll show that when we go back in the space, once we get back in the main worship center. Just talking about all the different things that God has done over the years here, how he has been faithful to Pepsi. And it was just amazing to hear the stories. And, you know, even building this space is a part of that, right? They made sure we had windows on either side. You know, you can see south. So if you go south, you can see Pikes Peak on a clear day. You go north, you can see Long's Peak on a clear day. You know, there's three windows there. They didn't just want us to look out on God's creation. They actually wanted us to worship the Creator. And so the three windows are supposed to represent the Trinity. We have that same design down in the main worship center. There was a lot of intentionality to what those founding families and the folks that were around that time did when they put all of these things together. It was pretty cool. And if you get a chance, I want you to just encourage you, ask, you know, find someone who raised their hand, find out a little bit more about, you know, what was it like back in those early days, back before there was a building here, back before Canterbury was a development, you know, back in the days when Parker was like dirt roads and a single stoplight. I remember those days. I was a high school student living over in Centennial, but I had a girlfriend who lived out here, not Christy, but a different girlfriend. And so I come out here and I was like, man, Parker, Colorado. In fact, I remember when we were candidating 12 years ago to become the pastor here, I remember when I first got the call, you know, people were like, yeah, Doug, you should check out this church in Parker. I was like, Parker? Really? Like dirt roads, Cowtown? What are you talking about? And they're like, yeah, a little bit different now. Anyway, pretty cool. Be talking to those folks. What you'll hear about, I think, as you talk to them, is you'll hear about this dream they had, this group of people, this amazing dream they had of a church that would be a light for the gospel on this hillside. A church that would bring many, many people over the years to Jesus Christ, to a saving knowledge of Christ. A church that would serve Parker and grow with her in the name of Jesus. And you know what? It was a God-sized dream, but God has been faithful. Amen? Yeah, it's been amazing to be a part of, and he's made good on his promise. I was thinking back, you know, Pepsi's been around for over 30-plus years now. And in those 30-plus years, you think about the literally tens of thousands of people who have heard the gospel at this church through the weddings and the funerals and every time we gather for worship. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, and you think about the thousands who have come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior over the course of that time. All right, you think about the children that we have raised here to know and to love Jesus. Many of them have gone out into the world on their own and they're serving Jesus in all kinds of different ways. Some of them are even overseas as missionaries, still serving around the world today. It's amazing. And if you're here today or you're watching online, you are a part of that. You have inherited that legacy and now it is given to you to build on, to help us continue to grow and to serve and to do the things that God has called us to do. And so before we get started today in our, you know, Ephesians study, I want to give you a challenge over these next several weeks as we kind of spend this next six, seven, 8 weeks up here. I want you to pick five people in your life. Think of five people in your life, maybe at least five, you could do more, who do not know Jesus Christ. And I want to challenge you to pray for them over these coming weeks. I want you to pray that God would give you an opportunity to share the gospel with them. I want you to pray that God would give you an opportunity to invite them to join us here. I want you to pray that God would use you in some way, shape, or form to draw them in, draw them close to Christ. You see, I don't think God wants us up here in a holding pattern. Like, I don't think he wants us to just kind of wait until we go back downstairs. I don't think that's what it's about. I think God wants to advance his kingdom during this time period, and he wants to use every single one of us to do that. God is relentless. We know that. He will never stop seeking out sinners. He will never stop seeking the lost and the lonely and the hurting, and we must be equally relentless, Pepsi. Amen? Okay, so I want you to take that challenge, pray for those five people, okay, and let's get this place packed, just like it was all those years ago when they would pack out three services, and that's why we built the main worship center to begin with, right? All right, so let's do that again. Let's ask God to do that again. Amen? All right, it'll be awesome, and I can't wait. All right, so last week we kicked off this new series in the book of Ephesians. So if you got your Bible or your Bible apps, go ahead and open up to the book of Ephesians. It's in the New Testament. It's one of Paul's letters. And the series that we've started is called One, okay? It's all about the unity of God's church, all right? You see, God has this plan for his church, his people, you and me here at Pepsi, and it is that we would be one, just as Jesus and the Father are one. That is what Jesus prayed for. And if you remember that great high priestly prayer in John 17, it's all about the unity of his people. Jesus wants us to experience the same union and communion with each other that he shares with the Father and the Spirit. Wouldn't that be amazing? That would be awesome. And you think about how important that would be in a world like the one we live in that's fracturing more and more by the day. I read an article this week in Christianity Today about the church in Ukraine. And if you know what's going on in the Ukraine, you know they're under incredible pressure right now, right? Russian troops are massing on the border. There are fears that Russia is going to, you know, try and take over the country. You might remember in 2014, they annexed the region of Crimea. And it's probably true. I mean, Kiev, the capital of Ukraine, is one of the oldest cities in Eastern Europe and has been the cultural and political center for the Russian people since at least the 9th century. So going back a lot of years, right? And so it's a country divided along ethnic and cultural lines between Ukrainians and Russians. And this infiltrates the church, of course. Both the Ukrainian Orthodox Church and the Russian Orthodox Church lay claim to the country, in addition to all the evangelical churches that have been planted, mainly Baptists and Pentecostals. All right, Ukrainians celebrate Christmas twice. How does that sound? Does that sound like fun? Twice, two Christmases, all right? They keep both the Western and the Eastern calendar. So Western calendar, December 25th, Eastern calendar, January 7th. They have theological differences. They have differences in worship style. They have differences organizationally. It's really challenging, and they have been at odds for a number of years. And again, this troop buildup is only exacerbating all of those tensions. Well, in 2014, Russian separatists took over the southeastern region of Ukraine, an area called Donbas, and they started systematically persecuting non-Russian churches. Okay, so if you were a non-Russian church, you had to register your church. If you didn't register, you were considered a security threat. They would cut you out of the power grid, cut off your water. They even, you know, murdered a few pastors and burned down some churches. And it was, you know, again, as you can imagine, just incredibly challenging. And so that tension has just continued to increase, and things have gotten better and worse over the years. Those kinds of things kind of gone back and forth. And then recently, it looks like a group of Christians have begun to get together, Russians, Ukrainians, Protestants, Orthodox, right? And they are starting to ask themselves a really important question. And it's the same question that we have to ask ourselves today here at Pepsi in Douglas County in the American church. And it's this: what is our fundamental identity? What is our fundamental identity? Is it Christ? Or is it our ethnicity, our socioeconomic status, our political affiliation, our sexuality, our age, our station in life? And all those things are real, don't get me wrong. I mean, they're there. But what is it that truly unites us? Is it our unanimity, the echo chamber in which we live, or the circle of friends that we've gathered around ourselves who all agree with us and look like us and act like us and spend money like us? Is it that, or is it something more? For our Ukrainian and Russian brothers and sisters, this is a matter of life and death. For us, it's not quite there yet, but don't think it can't happen here. And sadly, there is nothing new under the sun. This has been a problem for humanity going all the way back to the Garden of Eden. The Bible tells us there is only one answer. That's what Paul's going to talk about in our passage from Ephesians today. So let's look at that passage, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Let me read it for us. Get it in front of us. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Now, what I want to do this morning is just begin to pour the foundation of our unity together as a church here at Pepsi, just like Paul was doing for the Ephesian church. You see, Paul knew the truth of what I shared last service with the kids, right? This idea that we can either build our lives on the rock, that is Jesus Christ, or we can build our lives on sand. And if we build our lives on the rock, right, we'll never be shaken. If we build our lives on sand, man, it doesn't take much for everything to come down. Unless we seek our unity in Christ, Pepsi simply will not hold. It doesn't matter how much history we have together. Doesn't matter how much time we have together. Doesn't matter how much money we got in the bank. Doesn't matter how good a staff we hire. The forces in play in this world are simply too strong, just as they were too strong in Paul's day. If you were here last week, you remember we talked about the city of Ephesus and the challenges that they faced. It was the center, the heart of the Artemis cult in the ancient world. Her temple, her main temple, which was one of the great wonders of the ancient world, was located in the city, and pilgrims would come from all over the Mediterranean to worship and to make their sacrifices. There was not a more hostile place for a church to be planted, and yet that's exactly what Paul did. And not only did he have to deal with divisions between pagans and believers, he had to deal with divisions within the church as well, especially ethnic divisions between Jews and Gentiles. And how does Paul handle it? He doesn't argue. He doesn't yell, he doesn't scream, he doesn't throw a fit, he doesn't flame him on Twitter, he doesn't blast him on cable news. No, he points them to Jesus. He preaches the gospel. Why? Because he knows the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe, for the Jew and the Gentile alike. That's Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And you can almost feel his passion leap off the page as you read Ephesians 1 here, as he begins his letter. These 14 verses that we just read represent a single sentence in the original Greek. It's like Paul doesn't know how to use a period, all right? It's crazy. His words literally leap off the page. He's so excited to share the gospel with them. The words just kind of trip all over themselves. He's on overdrive. He runs out of breath. He's like Pastor Dan preaching with what's left of his hair on fire, right? I mean, that's how Paul is handling this. And he can't bring himself to insert a period. He doesn't want it to end. He wants to keep going. He wants to keep driving this point home about where our unity lies. This foundation. He wants to build it strong. He wants to plant these things deep so that the Ephesian church will stay strong amidst all the things that they're going to have to go through in their particular context. And he wants the same for us as well. So there are five words in particular this morning that we just read that I want to lift up for us. And I want you to think of them like pilings that we drive deep into the earth, deep into our faith to form the foundation of our life together here at Pepsi. And here's the first one. Blessing. Blessing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Friends, you believe that this morning? Amen. Yeah. You believe that God is fundamentally for you? That God longs to bless you Or do you believe you're cursed? Fundamentally, do you believe you're a sinner and that your status before God is a little shaky? Or do you believe that you're a saint, having been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ? What do you believe God sees when he looks at you? Do you believe he sees a beloved child of God's? Or is it just someone he has to put up with? Can't tell you the number of times I have been at the bedside of someone who is passing from this life to the next, and they have said to me over and over and over again, I hope I've done enough. You haven't. And you won't. And you don't have to. Christ has done it all. Amen? Amen? Yeah. All right. And that's what God wants for you. All right. The Bible is clear. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are blessed. Not we will be blessed if we're good enough. No, we are blessed, friends. When Jesus died for us, he perfectly satisfied the justice of God. He turned aside the wrath of God towards our sin. The curse has been lifted. The power of sin and death has been broken. Jesus doesn't just bring us back to neutral with God, and then we got to carry it from there. Jesus doesn't just settle accounts with God, and then we got to take it from there. No, Jesus literally and actually makes us righteous in God's eyes. And so why does the Father bless us with every spiritual blessing? Why does the Father delight in giving good gifts to all of his children? Because when the Father looks down on us, he sees one of his own. He sees one of his own. He sees his beloved child. He sees someone clothed in the very righteousness of his Son. And as such, we have access now to all the spiritual blessings of heaven. Not just some of the spiritual blessings, not just a few of the spiritual blessings. God has no need to hold back. God doesn't hoard his blessings. God doesn't have supply chain issues up in heaven, right? That's not what's going on here, okay? There is no scarcity. There is no lack. No, Paul makes it clear that all the blessings of heaven, literally every spiritual blessing, is available to us through Jesus Christ. So when you think about, kind of begin to think about the unity that we have as a body of believers, the unity we have as a church, the foundation of that unity rests on this fundamental understanding that we are blessed. Amen? Amen. Here's piling number two. We are chosen. We are chosen. He chose us in him from before the foundations of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. Do you believe you were specifically chosen by God, not for what you did or what you would become, but simply out of grace, friends? Yeah, do you believe as a church that we're chosen by God? Not because of our pride, not because we're better than any other church in the community or anything like that, but simply out of grace? Yeah. Do we believe that God chose us, made this decision from before the foundations of the world, before the earth was made, before the heavens were full, before the Big Bang, before the first star flashed in the nighttime sky? God made this decision. He chose us. He set us apart that we might be holy and blameless before him. You say to yourself, wait a minute. I'm not holy. I am not blameless. You should have seen me on the way into church this morning. This new rhythm, all these new times got me all screwed up. I woke up irritated, had to wrangle my kids to get them out of bed, drag my teenagers out the door. I still have a hangover from that Broncos loss yesterday and that fumble. Are you serious, right? All of that stuff. I walked into church, saw someone who got me all fired up by what they put on social media last week. I saw another person who hurt my feelings, saw another person who disappointed me or let me down, saw someone who wasn't there for me when I needed them, and all those feelings welled up inside, and holiness was not among them. Blamelessness, no, that wasn't among them. And I would never describe myself in that way, not if I'm honest. Well, we go back to point number one. We are blessed even in the midst of our mess. We're blessed in the midst of our mess. We're beloved, we're holy, we're blameless, not because of what we've done, not because of what we feel or what we think or the words we say, right? We sang that opening song, right? Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Like God is at work here, and it's because of what he has done. It's because he made a decision to choose us. That's what makes us holy. That's what makes us blameless. By grace, you've been saved by faith, Paul will say in Ephesians chapter 2, what we'll talk about in a couple of weeks. By grace, we've been blessed. By grace, we've been chosen. By grace, we've been set apart. We are now holy and blameless before God. And by grace, Pepsi is still standing as a church after all these years. still thriving as a church after all these years. And so again, as we think about the foundation of our life together as a church family, we acknowledge the fact that we are starting with this fundamental understanding that we're both blessed and we are chosen. Amen? Here's piling number three. We're adopted. We're adopted. In love, the Father predestined us for adoption as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Do you believe you are a child of God? Amen. Adopted into his own family. I mean, can you imagine an heir to righteousness and grace, given all the rights and privileges that befits a person of that kind of station? Did you know this was always God's plan? To have a family. This is why he created the world in the first place, was to share out of his abundance and out of his love and out of his grace with a creature that he made in his own image. He wanted a child on which to lavish the riches of his grace. And those of you who are parents, you know what I'm talking about. You remember the first time you held that child, right? And you thought to yourself, there is absolutely nothing I won't do for this little child. There is absolutely nothing that will prevent me from blessing this child, from raising this child, from there's nothing I wouldn't give to this child. I was driving my girls to school the other day. We were talking about this in the first couple of services, and we were talking about this dynamic. We were having to work through some disappointment, having to work through some conflict. Plans had to be changed because of some things that had come up. And they're pretty bummed out. And so I asked them this question. I said, do you believe that your mom and I really do want to bless you? Or do you think we have made it our goal in life to make you miserable? That we wake up every morning thinking, how hard can we make it on the twins? Like, what barriers can we put in their way that'll just make their life horrible? Like, no, that's not how it works. We love you. We want what's best for you. We want you to enjoy all the goodness and the blessings of this life, and we'll move heaven and earth to make it happen if we can. And to their credit, they said, you know what, Dad? You know, we wake up with the same attitude. We don't want to make your life hard. And I was like, woo, okay, right on. We're on the same page. We're going to be okay, right? Right? We are family, Pepsi. We are family. Fundamentally, this church is not a building. It's not a particular time, at a particular place, on a particular day. It is a community made up of the adopted sons and daughters of God, chosen and set apart by grace, blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. This is the foundation of our life together. Amen? All right, so we're blessed, we're chosen, we're adopted. Here's number four. We're redeemed. We're redeemed. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to do what? To unite all things in him, things in heaven, things on earth. Friends, do you believe you are saved? Yeah. Do you believe you have been delivered? Do you believe you've been set free? Do you believe that Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price to purchase you from the slave block of this world? Because prior to knowing Christ, you were a slave, whether you realized it or not. You were helpless. You were hopeless. You could not get yourself out of that condition. And so Christ had to intervene. Christ had to intercede. Christ had to do something for you. That's what redemption means. It literally means you were bought with a price. Your ransom has been paid. Every claim the devil once had on your life has been declared null and void. Every charge the devil that would bring against you has been dismissed. As Paul will later say in Romans 8:33, no one can bring any charge against God's elect. Why? Because it is God himself who justifies, right? Who makes right, who makes us righteous and whole and good. And this is what Jesus did for us on the cross, friends. He sent his one and only son, God sent his one and only son to pay the penalty for our sin. God sent his one and only son to give his life as a ransom for many. God sent his one and only son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sin. And his blood is abundant, friends. It is enough to cover every sin. His blood is powerful, friends. It is enough to cleanse us from every stain. He's the perfect sacrifice. He is the unblemished lamb who takes our place. And it doesn't matter where you've been, and it doesn't matter what you've done. You could be the worst murderer on death row, and I've ministered to those folks. I know what that looks like. Or you could be the nicest person in the world. You could have lived a life full of rebellion and sin, or you could be one of those people who never put a toe out of line. You could be the prodigal or the Pharisee, the younger son who goes to the far country, or the older son who stays home and is faithful and true. All of us need redemption, amen? Yeah, all of us need grace. And Paul says God lavishes these things on us. It's like we're standing under a waterfall that never stops flowing. We are drenched in his love. We are drenched in his mercy. We are drenched in his righteousness. We are drenched in his grace. And God does this for us. Why? Because it was his plan from the beginning to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven, things in earth, things in the church. Thank God we're not defined by our worst moments. Amen? And thank God we're not defined by our best moments. Amen? Yeah, we're not defined by any of those things. We are defined by Jesus Christ alone. Our identity is in him. We are blessed. We are chosen. We are adopted. We are redeemed. That's the foundation of our life together as a church. These are the truths that hold us together when the enemy in the world tries to tear us apart. Here's the final one. We are sealed. We are sealed. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. See, God doesn't want to leave anything to chance. He knows how easy it is for us to doubt. He knows how easy it is for us to fear. He knows how easy it is for us to get uncertain or unsure. He knows our lives provide ample evidence to us every single day that maybe we're not saved, right? I can look in the mirror and go, man, I know my sin. It is ever before me. And if I evaluate myself based on what I know about me, man, I know I'm always going to come up short. And that's why he seals these truths in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. He sends his Spirit into our hearts as the guarantee of our inheritance. He is the down payment, as it were, like the security deposit. He is the constant abiding reminder that all we've talked about this morning is true, whether you feel it or not, whether you think it or not. Right? He is that still small voice in your head and in your heart reminding you that you're blessed, you're chosen, you're adopted, and you're redeemed. And that's why we encourage you here at Pepsi to make sure you get time with him every day, to take that time alone in silence and solitude so you can hear the Spirit speak, cut through all the noise and distraction of your life. Let the Spirit remind you yet again to whom you belong. And what's true for you as an individual is also true for us as a church family. The Holy Spirit has sealed all of us for the day of salvation. He is with us every time we gather. He gives us gifts so we can build up one another. And he keeps our eyes focused on Jesus, the only hope we have in this life or the next. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. And as they do, I want to ask you the same question I asked the kids earlier this morning. Are you building your life on the rock? Or are you building your life on sand? Are we building our life as a church together on the rock? Or are we building our life together on the sand? Are we seeking unanimity or unity? Are we seeking uniformity or union with Christ? Are we seeking homogeneity? Or is the foundation of our life together based on something deeper, something more transcendent? Pepsi, hear and believe. The good news of the gospel. We are blessed. We are chosen. We are adopted. We are redeemed. We are sealed. And on this rock, Jesus says, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not stand against it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks that you have built your church on the rock that is your love, that is your grace, that is your mercy, God. And as we tap into the foundations you have poured for us, these foundations of blessing and being chosen and adopted and redeemed and sealed, oh my goodness, Lord, we will experience a union with you like no other and an intimacy with one another like no other. And so, Father, we just lift up praise to you today. We want to be to the praise of your glory. We want to live to the praise of your glory. Send us out to do that. And invite others to join us along the way. We give you thanks for these things in the name of Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and sing our final song, friends.
sing together?
Brothers and sisters, we have been blessed. We've been chosen. We've been adopted. We've been redeemed. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And we've been made one body, unified. Not uniform, but unified. So go in the power of the Spirit this morning to be the church, the unified church, for the good of the world. Go in His grace. was fun.